And we hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. If you're here for the first time, it's great to have you with us. There was a time when husbands were not allowed to accompany their wives as they gave birth. Now, I would feel very disappointed with that, because among the most joyful moments of my life are the birth of my children, and I was right there to see it all. But in the old days, they made the men, you know, wait in the waiting room for a while, and then they get news from the doctor or the nurse. And there were three men who were waiting all night to hear about the birth of their children. And early in the morning, the doctor came to the first one and said, "Sir, I've got great news for you. You are now the proud father of twins." And the gentleman said, "Wow, what a coincidence. You know, I work for a baseball team called the Twins." And the man went out, you know, to greet his children and his wife, all happy, all thrilled. Shortly after that, a nurse came and talked to the second man. Said, "Sir, you are the proud father of triplets." And the man looked at the nurse and said, "Wow, what an amazing coincidence. You know, I work for the 3M company." The doctor comes to see the third man, and just as the doctor's getting to the waiting room, the man runs out and says, "Don't tell me, don't tell me. I work for 7-Eleven. You know, every time we hear these gospel passages about Jesus calling his disciples, to me they seem a bit romantic. And the reason I say they seem a bit romantic is because it says, oh, immediately they dropped everything and followed him. Now, of course, we don't know how many people Jesus called who, upon seeing Jesus approach, they may have, you know, run far away. But we know that these 12 that he called, fishermen, tax collectors, whatever, they all responded and they listened to the call. And I'll tell you why I think they responded in the way they did. It's in the prophet Isaiah that we just heard. It's again echoed in the gospel. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. There was great anticipation in these men and in all of the people of Israel to receive the Messiah, the Savior. In other parts of the gospel, it will tell us that, you know, Andrew went to his brother Simon and said, "We have found it. We've seen the Messiah. We've seen the Lord." So they recognized that the person that was calling was indeed the Savior. They were not just being called casually to be members of a club. They were not being called just to do something new. They were in fact being called to be builders of the kingdom. The fact is, 2,000 years ago, Jesus called these men of faith, and they responded. But Jesus is still calling today. And I want to say to all of you that through our baptism, God is calling. Can you hear God calling? Can you hear the Lord? We have a tendency to think, you know, people who wear, you know, this dog collar or a clergy collar, you know, these are the people that are called, you know, the bishops and the priests and the deacons and the ordained official people in the church. But we forget that we are all called as God's people. We're all builders of this kingdom. We're all builders of this community of faith. We too hear the Lord saying, come and follow me, regardless of our situation in life, whether we are young or old, rich or poor, regardless of whether we are ordained or lay, at the end of the day, we are all called, and we must all respond. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And I would venture to say to all of you that at some point in your lives, and I know it's happened to me, you experienced darkness. You experienced a place where you really knew you were not supposed to be. At some point in your life, God allowed you to see the radiance of His light. See, that's the gift of faith, and that's what faith does for us. At some point, we realize we're not called to sit in darkness, but we're called to live in the light. And so through our baptism, through the grace of our baptism, we know that we are called to something new, to something else. And ultimately, it means we are called to be builders of God's kingdom and co-workers with Christ, co-workers with the Lord. We're called to do something specific. But it all begins with that call. Follow me. I want to help you to think about something. All of the followers of Jesus, all the disciples that we ever find in Scripture, they were not people sitting down on a bench doing nothing. What I mean to say is, they all had a life. It tells us that they were fishermen, and that Jesus said to them, come, I'm going to show you how to fish for people. It tells us that they were tax collectors, that they had different jobs and different duties, and obviously different personalities, and they responded. It all begins with responding to God's call. Do you feel called by God? Have you ever felt called by God? Have you ever understood the importance of your call as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian in the 21st century? Have you felt the call of God? I don't know how many of you know the story behind the famous hymn that we love, Amazing Grace. We sing it. It's considered to be the most recognized hymn, believe it or not, in the world, the most recognized Christian hymn, Amazing Grace. But the person who wrote it, John Newton, lived in great darkness for a long, long time in the 18th century. Now, that's not too far away, is it? No, not too far away. This 18th century human being got himself involved with one of the most, I would say, one of the darkest chapters in human history, the slave trade. And he was involved in that because, you know, his mother died when he was 7 years old. And at the age of 11, he was out with his father. He was out at sea. His father was a sea captain. He became a sea captain. And they were out at sea. And unfortunately, much of what was happening at that time on the seas was this slave trade. It was a big business. So John Newton started out in a Christian home. The light of faith kind of faded, or let's just say it went into the background, as it tends to happen to some of us. And then something happened. Something horrible happened. Not just that he participated in slave trade, but he actually became a slave, because his rebellion led him to abandon the navy that he had joined, and eventually he was captured and treated as a slave in Africa, in West Africa, and he really, really suffered and endured and was treated like a slave. So that made him begin to really think what was going on in his life, how dark it was. It really became dark for him too. And his soul was deeply saddened. And then something happened. on his way back to England, as he was being rescued, there was a horrible storm one night. The storm was so severe that they were sure this ship would sink. But then, almost like by a miracle of God, those things that happen, the cargo on the ship shifted from one place to the other, and the cargo covered the place where the water was coming in, and they were able to arrive safely. But in the midst of that storm, in the midst of that darkness, this man began to see a ray of light. And he says that at that moment, even though he did not write the words, at that moment, amazing grace came to be. And that's why he would then say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Many people thought that word "wretch" was too strong. But he says, "No, I really meant it. I was a wretch. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." The gift of faith, the light of faith, the one who sat in darkness was able to see a great light, and it was the light of Jesus that changed his perspective and began to understand that he was mistreating human beings, that he was mistreating himself, that he was not being who God wanted him to be. Well, this slave trader, very popular hymn writer, eventually felt another call. He felt the call to become a priest in the Church of England, become an Anglican priest. And for 10 years, he was rejected by people because of his background. They said, "This guy can't possibly be a priest, former slave trader. Can't have the compassion to be a priest." And he was rejected by 3 bishops in 3 different dioceses in England, until someone in the government intervened for him and said, no, his conversion is real. And finally, years later, John Newton became an Anglican priest. And to this day, the whole world, the whole Christian world sings, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." And it sounds like such a beautiful hymn. But if you don't know the story, you don't know the feeling behind it, you don't know the emotion behind it, you don't know the real deal of what those words actually mean to someone whose life was totally transformed, someone who was really blind, someone who was really living in darkness. See, and that's what we're called to. We're called to recognize that we must allow this great light to shine in our lives, and not just in our lives, but through our lives. Is God calling you? Is God speaking to you? In the midst of the darkness of our world, in the midst of the conflict that we see, in the midst of the racism and the bigotry and the hatred and all of that strife that we see in our society that is real, in the midst of all of that, is the Lord calling you to do something? And ultimately, as Christians, we may not be called to do extraordinarily awesome things, you know, great programs or projects. Ultimately, we are called to bring the message of God's love, to bring the light of Jesus to those places where we find ourselves. That's why we cannot afford to continue thinking that we are not called, because we are called. We are called in the same exact way as Simon Peter was called, as Andrew was called, as James and John and all the others were called. As men and women throughout the centuries have been called and have responded to the voice of God, we are called, just as called. We are called to bring the love of God, to bring the light of Christ to every place in our world and every corner of our existence. No matter where we are, we must be bearers of that light. And so your call is great. Our call is great. And we are being called. We just need to respond. Sometimes we don't feel worthy of God's call because we're all sinners. But it's not about you. It's not about me. It really isn't. If you make it about you, it's no longer about Jesus, right? People talk about church all the time, and I love the way people talk about church. They talk about their pastor, the priest, the pastor, the minister. They talk about this or that, the music, the choir, the music director. They talk about, you know, the senior warden, the this, the that. But I gotta tell you, the community is all of us. Each and every one of us is the community. Each and every one of us is the living body of Christ. Each and every one of us are called by God to lead. And we can only lead if we listen, if we open our minds and our hearts to the Lord. You know, John Newton wrote his own epitaph, and I want to read it to you today. He wrote, "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy." He wrote his own conversion story in just a few lines. If you had to write your epitaph today, what would it say? What would it say about your call and how you responded to the call of the Lord in your life? Because you are called. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.